Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm and author of Investing Simplified, the book. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America, with a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and is broadcast live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck with a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com. Or you can call him right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
Well, welcome to Investing Simplified, and this is a cold and brisk fall Saturday morning, in studio with me is Chuck Price. I'm Kevin Stady.
Is my system working?
I think it is working, yes.
Okay.
So I'm filling in for the first 10 seconds.
Okay, I can hear nothing.
Okay, well, that's all right. But I can hear, and hopefully our listeners can hear. But this is Investing Simplified, and we welcome your phone calls. Of course, this is a live show. Chuck Price with our financial advisor and host, and I'm Kevin Stege, CPA, and maybe we'll have Carl calling in, but he's taking a little time off with the grandkids.
Well, Kevin, I do want to mention to everybody, too, that if you're a listener out there and you know anybody who has $100,000 or more in a 401k, a 403b, a 457, or a TSP, we're going to be doing a free seminar on November 30th from 7 to 9 at the Holiday Inn on Columbia Boulevard. And I got to tell you, we're going to talk about a program called Asset Lock. And if you want to go online and check out Asset Lock, it's assetlock.com. Check it out. We're going to be doing a seminar on it, and hopefully, if you want to attend, just call my office, 503-253-3000, and we'll get you set up for it. Well, Kevin, this is weird because there's no feedback at all on my line, so I have no idea. If you're out there and you can give us a call, 503-417-9595, toll free 877-733-1011 for podcast listeners. Also have the website up, and you can go to investingsimplifiedradio.com and contact us. We're going to jump right into the taxes, because I think everybody in America is concerned about taxes. Everybody's concerned about the new tax bill. You can turn on one station and they're saying it's no good. You turn on the next show and they're saying it's the greatest thing since hotcakes to lumberjacks. And so, you know, we're going to hear right from what is it called? The Federation of Accountancy, or the, what are those guys called? The Federation?
Something like that. The Association or something.
Oh, not the Communist Manifesto.
No.
Well, but anyway, we're going to talk about taxes, folks. And if you're interested like I am, and like every American should be, on how much you pay in taxes and how poorly they spend it, you might be interested in what we're going to talk about.
Well, this is, to me, this tax reform bill is pretty exciting. I've had a chance to look at it in depth quite a bit more than just the news articles that we all get. I glanced at some of those, and those are just very basic outlines of what's happened, but I've got some pretty good information from the Journal of Accountancy. It's a pretty good technical journal that really gives a pretty good analysis of what it is. And hopefully, you know, with all of my clients, you know, we all have our political perspective, so on and so forth. When it comes to performing a service for my clients. It doesn't matter what their political leanings are. We try to get the lowest tax bill possible. Doesn't matter what mine are. We stick to the law, do the best we can. And so hopefully the analysis of this tax bill is going to be, I just want to give it as straight up as I can, not bent one side or the other. I think that's where I get frustrated with our news organizations, because they say they're objective. I don't know of one objective news organization anymore. They lean all one side or the other, and I would just like to have straight up news for what it is. And yes, some insight would be nice to say, hey, this is why this is happening, or this is why that's happening. And I might say that a little bit through here, but let's kind of get into it. And I think it's going to spur some conversation should be interesting. I know you have some good insight and thoughts too, Chuck. So let's get right in. And of course, let's be honest here. This is just the first proposal, the first unveiling, and it's going to change.
Yeah, and as we all know, if the House and the Senate can screw it up, they probably will.
This is true. So basically, in general, I titled this tax reform bill, I told you this earlier, Chuck, I title it Special Interest Has Been Kicked in the Butt. And to me, this is a good thing. All of the loopholes that we have in our current tax code that pander to this group because they had a strong lobby, or that group because they had a strong lobby, or this senator because it fit his particular tax picture in his state, this appears to me to level the playing field on federal taxes across the board, or at least gets us closer there. It helps to level the playing field, and I think that's a good thing. Let the states determine whether they want to tax their citizens out of existence or not, and let the federal taxation be level across the board.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting, Kevin, that the states that are the most objecting to this new tax bill are the ones that have high taxes.
That's exactly right. Yep. And let's also remember, this tax reform bill is following the greatest tax increase in the history of the United States under the Obama administration and what they put in. So by this tax bill potentially cutting $1.5 trillion over the next 10 years, this is just, I don't even know if this gets us back to the pre-Obama levels. So let's keep that in mind before we think that the end of the world is near for our governments. Okay, so as I said, $1.5 trillion over the next 10 years. In general, and the Senate Finance Committee is going to unveil their proposal this next week, apparently, and so we'll see how that dovetails in. But in general, here's what's potentially coming down the road. The biggest part of the tax cut in this bill is the revised tax brackets. So yes, all sorts of deductions are out the window. All sorts of exemptions, all sorts of credits are going out the window, getting rid of all this special interest stuff. And so when your deduction or your credit all of a sudden disappears, don't sweat too much until you run your taxable income through the new tax brackets, because that's where most of the tax savings helps. And interestingly, a huge amount of that tax savings is going to be at the lower income levels. What I'm pretty excited about is the simplification of this whole thing. As I told you before the show, Chuck, married couple making $48,000 is going to owe no tax. $48,000 of gross income, $24,000 standard deduction roughly, leaves you with $24,000 of taxable income. And as a married couple, your tax rate is zero on $24,000. So that type of scenario is going to simplify the filings for a lot of people.
Is it at 24 or 48 for a married couple?
Well, 48 of gross income, the first 24,000, the standard deduction is going to be a subtraction. So now they're down to 24,000 of taxable income, and then you apply your tax rate, and that's 0%.
Okay.
So that's how that would work. Interestingly, it looks like there's a, quote, marriage penalty in this tax bracket structure. The four new brackets are 12%, 25%, 35%, and 39.6%. The jump from 25% to 35% for a single person happens at $200,000 of taxable income. For a married couple, it only happens at $260,000. So if you have two folks making 200 grand a piece, there might be a little tax planning to not get married before the state and only get married before the Lord. But we'll see if that pans out and see how that happens. But usually they were trying to, in the past, when there's a single person and a married couple, everything was double or half depending. But we'll see how that plays out. So probably most important for our Oregon listeners, California,
Washington.
This won't hit Washington, but most deductions are going to be repealed. So those who itemize deductions, the key one obviously is the state income tax deduction. And so states such as New York, California, Oregon, whose taxpayers have benefited on their federal taxes by taking their state income taxes as a deduction, that would go completely away. And, you know, we talked before the show, Chuck, a person who lived in Washington who made $100,000 and that exact same person who lived in Oregon and made $100,000, the Oregon person would pay less in federal income taxes if they itemized because of that deduction. And so this basically levels the playing field across the nation.
And it really puts the accountability on your individual state.
Exactly right.
So if you got a complaint about your taxation, you need to pick up the phone and call your state government and get them to reduce the taxes.
That's right. Good
luck.
Exactly right. Yeah. This one I'm excited about. No more medical deduction. That would be gone. I can't tell you the frustration of sitting across the desk from my elderly clients who clearly time is not on their side, and they're sitting there having to cobble together receipts for what they paid for pharmacy and for copays and stuff. Why are we doing that? So this is great to get rid of.
Yeah, this just gets rid of that and gives them a higher deduction
exactly. Right
off the bat, so you don't even have to worry about that.
Yep, exactly right. Two of the deductions that stay, charitable contributions. That's across the board.
I would think AARP would be out in full blower touting this program, but I don't hear them.
Yeah.
Funny how that works.
Exactly. So charitable deductions are still on the table, and then your mortgage interest, and this is going to affect states with high home values, is the mortgage interest deduction is still around, but it's only on your first $500,000 of loans. So if you're, you know, I can see in, we ran about 9 or 10 different scenarios. I saw about 9 or 10 different examples in some articles, and almost to a T, people save taxes under this new plan. However, the scenario where you probably don't save taxes is, and it all depends on your situation, but the scenario would be, I'll just say like a Lake Oswego resident who makes very good income. You're in the high six figures. You pay a lot in state taxes. You pay a lot in property taxes, and you pay a lot in home mortgage interest. Well, your state tax deduction's gone. Your home mortgage interest is only on your first $500,000. So your $1 million home, you're not going to get all your interest. It's supposedly, theoretically, I'm guessing you'll get half of your interest if you had a $1 million loan. We'll see how the worksheets work out. Property taxes. Property taxes are going to be limited to $10,000 to the first $10,000. So I could see potentially how that person's taxes could go up under this, but I don't know.
You know, I thought I heard on one of the discussions on it that they were going to grandfather anybody that had a loan that exceeded that prior to the end of the year.
Prior. And that's exactly right. Once all the details come out, that's what I'm saying. Don't get too up in arms yet. Well, it would be for new loans probably going forward.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. That type of thing. A few more interesting things. The alternative minimum tax gone. Just get rid of
about
that.
About time.
Yep. Exactly.
About time.
Yep. Another is, the personal exemptions are gone. So those with large families with kids, the exemptions, $4,000 a piece, those are gone. However, the child tax credit goes up from $1,000 to $1,600. So that's going to help the lower people in the 15% or lower bracket. This is going to be tax neutral or a tax benefit change. Those in the 25% bracket with kids, this will probably hurt your taxes a little bit. And so that is. So I will leave it there for now, since we've rattled on for a bit, and we'll come back to it later after we take a quick break.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about investing and taxation. We'll be right back.
Price Financial Group, wealth management.
All right. I'm Carl Jepson, estate planning attorney and co-host of the radio program Investing Simplified. I recently left the Warren Allen Law Firm to open my own office. Professional and personable service have always been the hallmarks of my practice. I believe that this move will allow me to spend more time with my clients. For more than 37 years, it has been my privilege to assist clients with practical estate planning with wills, trusts, powers of attorney, advance directives, and other documents so that they may have peace of mind knowing that their affairs are in order. When probate becomes necessary, emotions of family members may become fragile. Having an experienced attorney that can empathize with what the client is going through makes the process much easier. My new office is conveniently located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 101, just across from Mall 205, and my phone number is 971-229-0585. That's 971-229-0585.
Got a legal question? Coming up is Carl Jepson, estate planning attorney, with Carl's Comments. You can call Carl now at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Carl Jepson.
Well, just so you know, it's not Carl Jepson. Carl is out this week, might be calling in, but we got a little snafu there with our engineer there, but it looks like we've got a caller on the line that's got a question. Looks like it's Merle. Merle, are you there?
No, maybe not.
Maybe not. Well, quite still yet. Shows he's there, so hopefully we'll be able to pick that up. Kevin, you were saying on the break there about more tax information about investing.
Yes, so how that might tie into our investors is... So there's provisions for business, and there's some provisions for bonds. And I thought you would find this interesting. I know you have clients that are invested in private activity bonds, but those would no longer be tax exempt. And so that's kind of an interesting change. That was kind of a draw for those. What is a private activity bond?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with that. I haven't looked that up. Familiar with that at all.
I think it has to do with usually it's a related to some state or local or business type of.
I know we got tax-free bonds, municipalities and stuff. But that's municipalities.
Yeah, I think it's a particular type of subset, but only those issued after 2017 would be taxable. There would still be tax-free on those prior to it. So that's kind of an interesting one. And see, this is what I'm getting at: is basically all the people that have lobbied and gotten tax preference treatment of their particular industry, these things are getting
A caller on the line. Henry's got a question about taxation. Are you there, Henry?
Yes, I'm here, I'm not sure how to ask this, except I'll just blurt it out. In looking at a high-valued item like sterling silver or fur coats and things that you might want to donate to charity, is it still a pretty good idea, or is it law that you must get an appraisal from someone in that trade?
Very good question. Anything that you are going to take a deduction for $5,000 or more, there's a few exceptions, but for the most part, you need to have an appraisal.
The deduction of be $5,000?
Correct.
Or the value be $5,000?
Well, that would be, for the most part, the same thing. Your basis comes into play, but for the most part, if it's if the deduction after you run the difference between, there's a fair market value and basis, if your deduction is going to be over $5,000, you need to attach the appraisal to the tax return.
Okay, understood.
Yes.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Very good question. Yes, and that's it's a little more complicated than that. Depending on the item, there's a few things that escape having to be subject to those rules. I mean, such as you donate a security to your favorite charity, and that security is traded on a public market that you can get the price on. Obviously, we know what the price is on the date you donated it. So something like that, there's some exceptions. So, well, a couple more items, Chuck, that I think you find interesting. Like-kind exchanges. Like-kind exchanges would be limited to only real estate.
Oh, so like 1031 exchanges?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, for the most part, 1031 exchanges are typically real estate's what you think of, so that's okay. But now I think some people who press the edges and are doing, you know, what's like-kind and defining stuff and getting pretty aggressive on things, are I think that's going to be curtailed a bit.
You mean like when they exchange a commercial building for a private building?
That would, for a private residence, that would still, yeah, that's still real estate, so that's okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize you could do anything else with 1031s. I thought it had to be real estate.
Well, if you have a vehicle that you trade in, that's actually a 1031 exchange for, you know, you take it to the dealer and you do a trade-in and stuff. I'll be curious to see how that plays out, because that's...
Wow, how's that, yeah, how's that going to work?
It'd be treated as a sale and a purchase as opposed to a trade-in. So anyway, it's devil's in the details.
Seems more complicated that way, but...
Well, yeah, they've...
was this simplified tax? Nope.
well, this just making it real estate actually does help.
Okay.
It would help. The estate tax would be repealed after 2023, but there'd still be a stepped up in basis on assets. So that's, of course, a pretty hot topic for...
Wow, there still will be a stepped up basis.
According to this
and
bill.
And I understand that the estate tax was going to double for next year.
The exemption.
Okay.
The exemption.
Yeah, the 5.5 goes to 11.
Apparently. And then for a married couple, apparently that
22.
Makes, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, a couple other provisions on the business side. Now, these are I think, pretty interesting. In fact, this is what I'm probably most excited about. No more entertainment deductions for businesses. All of these sky suites and the stadiums, all of that junk, buying tickets to the Masters for the high rollers and stuff.
Wow, NFL, you better listen up.
Exactly right.
Yeah, your listenership's going down and your corporate sponsorship may be going in the toilet.
Exactly. And so under the guise of I need it for business to take my potential clients, you know, to a football game. Well, take them to the football game, but that's on your dime. So
I think that's great.
I think it is too.
I think it's
absolutely
great. Yep.
Absolutely. And another one is compensation for executives. Now, this is, I'll give you a little background on this, and this is one I'm pretty excited about, is there's new limits on the tax deductibility of highly paid employees, and not only for businesses, but for tax-exempt organizations.
Good for the government.
Exactly.
Yeah, about time.
Exactly. So, so here's how the current rules are. Basically, you only get to deduct up to $1 million of your highly paid executives. So they can pay them whatever, but they only get to deduct $1 million. Except, notice the except,
yeah,
except for commission-based or performance-based compensation. So you know all of these executives, CEOs and stuff, it's all, quote, performance-based compensation, and they're raking in the millions based on performance-based.
You know, that brings up a great subject. I think we should put all of our government employees on performance-based, and if we have a deficit, their pay goes down.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
That would be very good.
They you think they'd be a little motivated to reduce that?
I would think so.
I would think so.
It'd be good for the people. That's right. So
good for the peeps.
Yep, exactly right. So what the new rules would say is basically we're going to get rid of that exception. We're just going to keep it at $1 million. So that's it. So the businesses don't, you know, they're going to get hurt when they don't get a deduction when they, you know, pay their CEO, you know, in all these tricky different ways. And there's a lot of other, you know, there's other plans, non-qualified deferred compensation, all that stuff. They're tightening all of that down under the
well,
same.
You know, Kevin, rule. It's kind of interesting because Department of Labor tried to put together some rules for the fiduciary rule in our industry. And there's supposed to be a lot of transparency and full disclosure on companies reimbursing people. And we chose as an RIA firm not to take any subsidy to push any product into our office. We won't take any subsidy to do that. And because it either is the best interest for the client or it isn't. If it isn't, I'm not going to offer it. And so, but there's still a lot of brokerage firms that have incentive programs, and you have to read that stuff, folks, because understand you're paying for your advisor to go to Hawaii. You're paying for your advisor to take a trip around the world. The investors are paying for that. Now, if you don't look and see what the total expenses you're paying and what fee expenses you're paying, I'll just give you a clue. The first thing you ought to ask your advisor when you sit across the table from them, say, do you have any incentives going to get a trip to sell me whatever you're selling me? Because I'll tell you what, a lot of them do.
Is there a way for when somebody comes to an advisor to find out exactly how they're paying the advisor?
Ask them.
Okay.
They got to tell you. If they lie to you and they get caught lying, they won't have a license. Yeah. I mean, the problem is, Kevin, the fact is most people don't ask.
Okay.
It's just like I tell people, if you're going to go give somebody your life savings and you haven't pulled a broker check on them, you're the idiot, not the advisor you're talking to. Mm-hmm. You didn't do your homework. Mm-hmm. You need to pull a broker check on them, see if there's had any problems. And if you if they have, you need to confront them in the meeting and ask them.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't, you got nobody to blame but yourself. We got a caller on the line there. It looks like, just a second here. What time is it? Well, I'm going to interrupt here real quick. I got Jason Jenkins on the line. Jason, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning. We were just talking about the new tax law and about compliance and all those great things in our industry that, you talk about. But I talked at the top of the show about the fact that you're coming out to Portland on November 30th, and we're going to do a seminar on asset lock.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, real excited to come out and share with everybody out there in Portland all the great things that we're doing to help protect our future. So real excited about it.
Well, we've had pretty good success here the last few weeks. We've connected a lot of people up on asset lock. Also have got it provided in some of our fee-based products that it's available to as well. And tell the audience one reason why they cannot afford to miss this meeting on the 30th.
Well, Chuck, I think the biggest reason that people need to come attend this event is that they owe it to themselves to learn about this tool, about how helping protect their financial future. That's really the bottom line. So if there's anybody that's listening to the show right now, that's what they need to be asking themselves, is the market. We're now in the second longest bull market in U.S. history. We have now begun to break records over the last 12 months about the low volatility that has taken place in this market. And I'll be quite candid with you, Chuck. I was just in Dallas speaking a couple days ago, and everybody's like kind of getting a little complacent, Chuck. I don't know if you're seeing that. But at the same time, everybody's kind of sitting back going, okay, I know this doesn't last forever. And everybody in the room pretty much signed up for asset lock going, okay, I need to have this tool between me, my money, and my advisor. And so the biggest reason is for them to gain knowledge on this tool asset lock that you're helping provide out there for free so that people can sleep better at night. That's my opinion why they cannot miss this event.
Well, I certainly agree, and I can tell you, everybody pretty much that I've sat down with that has a 401k or a 403b or a 457 or a TSP, and I've sat down and I've explained this to them, every one of them has signed up for it.
Yeah, it really is exciting, Chuck. I mean, at the end of the day, I know you probably, I don't know if you're sick of me saying it yet, but everybody deserves this. Everybody deserves to have this tool because it is a matter of connecting effortlessly with your money so that there's expectations set around this, and that it's there. And so, you know, nowadays the days of pensions are pretty much gone, Chuck. I mean, the largest assets that investors have is their real estate and their 401ks. And it, quite often, Chuck, that I hear, yeah, I've got that 401k. I haven't looked at it. I'm not too sure what it's doing. I'm sure you hear that, right, Chuck?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah. And so Asiloc comes in and says, well, let us just effortlessly connect you to this so that we can increase the engagement. And what takes place is you're like, well, hold on a second. Maybe I should learn a little bit more about this. And going back to your employer or the custodian or, you know, the advisor and getting more informed about what is going on. And, you know, that's why I feel so blessed, you know, that I'm kind of able to help lead the charge here with Asiloc, because it's helping thousands and thousands of investors across this great country of ours be better investors and have more confidence about the future.
Yeah, I think absolutely. And I'll tell you, I think once a person has this on their investment portfolio, they're never going to want to not be with it again.
Well, I've been doing this long enough to tell you that's absolutely what happens. There's a sense of, like, if you don't have it now, once you know about it, there's like this nakedness kind of a feel like, hold on a second. Where's Asiloc? I need to have that. Where is that? Hold on one second. And so you're absolutely right. Because, you know, when you think about it, when we as consumers go out in the world and operate, and I'm going to use Uber as an example, you know, when I go to engage that, I'm like, okay, I need to get picked up, and I'm going to go from point A to point B. The expectations that we have of that as we make that purchase decision for a service, it's pretty clear. You're like, well, I hope they pick me up soon. I hope the driver is nice and the car is clean and they drop me off. I give them a 5-star rating and I kind of move on and I don't think about it unless it was a bad experience. But when it comes to investing, this is really critical. I hope everybody who's listening is really kind of tuned into what I'm about to share with you. It will come down to one word today and forever, and it will come down to trust. That means if you're going to do it yourself, you're going to trust yourself. If you're going to hire an advisor, you're going to trust that advisor. And the reason being is that we have no idea what tomorrow brings. We know that we need to be doing this, but we don't know if there could be a tsunami or a World War III. We have no idea what tomorrow might bring. So we are trusting the information that's being put in front of us. And we've been doing this for a long time. And so, again, it really hasn't boded that well, because at the end of the day, the investor, and the stats are there, and you know this, Chuck, are really good at buying high and selling low. And I believe we're going to be seeing that cycle once again. And again, I want to go back to what happened in October. They literally handed out a Nobel Prize to Richard Thaler for the simple fact of behavioral economics. He's quoted as saying, the people I studied are humans that are closer to Homer Simpson, meaning that it's so emotional. And so this is where Asiloc comes in and says, well, if we know that it's emotional, we know that there's trust involved, we're going to put parameters day one that when we sit down with this advisor, that if this thing goes down 10%, I'm going to get notified. But it's different. That's why they got to come in and they got to be at the event, Chuck, to see how it works. But this is really, really critical for the person to be successful that's listening to this.
Well, Jason, we got a caller on the line. Lee's got a question to ask you about Asiloc, and so you're going to get to intergage with here. Lee, are you there?
All right, awesome. Bring Lee on.
I am. Just a quick question. It sounds like Asiloc be used for non-retirement accounts, like regular accounts, and if not, why not?
It can be used on any account, Lee.
Okay.
It can be used on any account. Yep.
All right. Because in the intro, Chuck mentioned 401ks, 403bs, and so on and so forth. So just wondering about that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Lee. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's got to be a regular type brokerage account, though.
Yeah, it's got to be. That is correct. So yeah. It has to be a regular type of brokerage account. That is correct. But it is possible to answer his question. That would be him sitting down with you on that, Chuck.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
But again, I think that, you know, really I hope all the listeners, again, I'm actually celebrating an anniversary this month, Chuck. I don't know if I told you. I've been 20 years in the financial industry. So,
wow. Not as long as you, congratulations.
But, 20 years now. And you've been doing this, is it 45 years?
Actually, October is the time when I started the business, too. So I can certainly relate to what you're saying.
Yeah, so you've been around long enough to see that as technology changes and, you know, and all these other components change, the one thing that is not changing and has not changed is the human component behind this. And I really hope the listeners grab what I'm sharing, is that it is about trust. It'll never change because tomorrow is uncertain. So it only makes logical sense for us to have a tool like AssetLock to help that individual become a better investor. And that what it does is it frames that the expectations in the conversation. And I think that's why it's helping so many people.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm looking forward to our meeting on November 30th. I'm happy you're going to be able to be here. And we're looking for a good crowd. And any listener out there that wants to attend, you can call my office, 503-253-3000, and reserve your spot, because we do need you to reserve your spot to make sure we have the numbers correct. And we're looking forward to a good meeting on November 30th from 7 to 9. And it's going to be at the Holiday Inn at the airport at 8439 Northeast Columbia Boulevard. So, Jason, thank you very much for your time. We're going to take a quick break here. I'll be talking to you during the week, I'm sure. And thank you very much. You have a great week.
All right, Chuck. Thanks for having me on the show.
You bet. Thanks. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
Price Financial Group Wealth Management.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We're located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Colson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. You can call Kevin 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers, Kevin Stege.
Well, Kevin, we're right back to talking about taxes some more.
That's right.
And, you know, I think anybody that works and pays taxes, most of us have the feeling that the government really isn't spending our money the way they should.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I think that has to be addressed, and hardly ever gets addressed, is the expenses the government pays and the money the government pays out and the justification of the money. And is there anything in this new tax bill that's going to require the government to be a little more thrifty in what they're spending our money on?
Well, I think the fact that it's cutting $1.5 trillion over 10 years is going to require cuts. And that's, you know, people are saying, well, who's going to pay for this tax bill? Well, you don't pay for it. You actually reduce your expenditures. So that's...
You know, it's just like when we talk to people who are trying to get a budget put together and trying to spend their money properly, the first thing you look at and the first thing we tell people to do is to sit down for a month, and this is the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life, but sit down 1 month, just take a calendar out, and every day write down every dime you spend. If you're buying a Starbucks, you write it down. If you're driving your car, you write it down. Whatever you're doing, you write it down. Put down your spending habits. And at the end of the month, you will know exactly to the penny what your budget was or what you needed to have. Here's a big thing. If you're spending more than you're making, there is a problem. Okay? Yeah. It's a cash flow problem. Now, can you make more money? Well, you can work two jobs. Most people who are working a job, they have a salary, so they really can't, you really can't increase your income per se. But what you can do is you can cut your unnecessary expenses. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the hardest things for families to do. And we were talking about this, you know, to me, and I'm going to put this right squarely at the teachers of America. To me, if we really gave a crap about our kids, every school teacher in America who's teaching in high school, you wouldn't pass that freshman to the sophomore year if they couldn't balance a checkbook for the year. Same thing your sophomore year, your junior year, and your senior year. We owe it to the kids of this country that by the time they hit high school, that they've been taught in the schools mathematics and common sense, and they can actually balance a checkbook by the time they graduate from high school. And you know what? If that means you cut down your graduation statistics, then I guess we better learn how to teach the kids better. But really, we're really doing a disservice to this country to put kids out there, give them a high school degree, let them go into the workforce, and they can't even balance a checkbook. They don't even know how to add. They don't know how to subtract. Don't you think we owe it to the kids of this country to do that? And I hear this stuff, it's for the kids, it's for the kids. You know, I'll tell you what's for the kids, is teach the kids to be independent. Teach the kids how to balance a checkbook. Teach the kids how to be good buyers, good consumers, how to eat right. That's not a bad thing either. We have Sherry McCants on here, the nutritionist. One of the big problems is, you know, the reason why the average person at age 43 buys the most potato chips and soda pop they're ever going to buy is because they got teenagers in the house. Now, what are we teaching them when we feed them chips and soda? Not exactly how to eat right.
That's right.
So a lot of things, and I was guilty of that myself when my kids were there. So I, you know, I can complain about it now, but I didn't do it when I was there. That's for sure.
That's right.
You know, and if I had known, hopefully I would have done something different.
Yeah. Well, you know, the scenario that frustrates me the most in my business. Should we take a caller first?
Yeah, Barry's okay. Got a tax question. Barry, are you there?
Oh, hi. This is for Kevin, but about the tax. I have two questions about the tax thing. Is he going to continue? Now, you said they're going to take off the child deduction for parents. Are they all? You know what the? Have you ever heard of the good faith deduction? Are you aware? You know what that is?
Good faith deduction?
That's the one that George Bush brought in. It was the one for people who have young people in colleges, and you can take off so much a year for your college students. It was like $7,500 per student.
Well, I don't know if that's a that's not a I don't recall that in the tax provisions. Maybe that's a tuition type thing. There was the American Opportunity Credit, the Hope Credit, those types of things.
Oh, good Hope Credit, that was it. Now, wasn't that is he going to take that up?
That will be changed. Basically, what they're going to do is they're going to lump all of those various credits. There's the Lifetime Learning, the American Opportunity, the Hope Credit. All those will be basically gotten rid of, and one, basically, you'll get the good credit, the American Opportunity. Basically, the first $2,000 of your tuition is fully deductible. 25% of your next $2,000 is deductible. So if you spend $4,000, you'll get $2,500 credit on your taxes.
So it used to be $7,500 per child.
That would have been more of a deduction and not a credit. And that's probably
yeah, right. Exactly. It was a deduction because I knew long, you know, I knew that. Yeah. And I had up to three kids in school. So for a couple thousand, I'm not going to do. I mean, I'm done with it. I'm just thinking of parents in the future. Mm-hmm. Schools are way too expensive for these young people. Parents are helping. And we need, as far as deductions and stuff, all the help we can get. Because, I mean, I was spending up to, well, a fortune. But anyway, that's a thing of the past.
Yeah.
My money was well spent, believe me.
Sure.
Then my other question for you is, okay, you're talking about, I'm a businessman. I own a couple businesses. So you're saying entertainment underscored. Now, and then you guys brought up the NFL and basketball games and all the stuff. How about as far as taking, let's say, out clients out to lunch or buying them gift items? Those are all going to be gone. Anything to do with marketing is going to be done?
No. Meals apparently is not part of this, so you'll still get to deduct half of your meals. Direct gifts that meet the definition of a gift, that is still going to be apparently okay. This is going to literally be entertainment. This is where you're going to an event. You know, it's
like a Blazer game. You can't deduct that anymore.
That would fit the bill of entertainment, I think. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Hey, very good questions.
Good questions.
Very good. And of course, these details will be shaken out, and from between now and the end of the year, not only will we address what actually comes into law and really help you guys understand what that is, we're also going to be coming up with some ideas of what to do this year versus next year when apparently all these tax changes will come in. Potentially prepaying some state tax while it's still deductible. If you're not in the AMT, I mean, there might be some planning opportunities here.
Yeah, you know, I am sorely disappointed because I had hoped and had a fading hope, but hope that they were going to pass this tax bill and make it retroactive back to the start of the year. And in fact, many of them said that. And I think the only people we have to blame on that is the House and the Senate for sitting on their hands. And you know, I got to tell you, folks, if you don't think we pay our politicians too much money, just look at what's going on how nothing's getting done, and the parties are blocking everything they can. And at some point in time, you got to say, you know what? Every time they do that, it costs you and me money. It doesn't cost them. I think they should have to pay for their inactivity. Congress should pay for their inactivity. And I can tell you the way to do it. We don't have term limits, but we do have some knowledge and brains. Don't vote for a politician who's gotten filthy rich off your money and off his business dealings, good and bad, on the side, because I guarantee you they're all a lot richer than you'll ever be. In fact, Oregon's two senators are two of the richest in Congress. Check it out. Don't believe me. Go check it out. One of them doesn't even live in the state. He lives in New York more than he lives in Oregon. So, you know, you want to keep paying this guy the money you're paying him and giving him the pension you're giving him through the government. Who's the idiot? The person who voted for him is. That's who.
Yeah. So just to finish off a couple more items regarding the executive compensation, I had mentioned that this also applies to nonprofits. Well, nonprofits don't pay tax. Well, if you pay your executives over $1 million, you're going to pay a 20% tax on anything over $1 million to nonprofits. So it's about time there was I won't say the organization, but what a business model to have your inventory come in free, and those who give the inventory have an incentive because they get a tax deduction, and then you get to sell that inventory, and it's tax-free. What a business model. And so anyway, of course, when you take your salary, that's taxable. But we're finally putting a kibosh on that loophole. Yeah. So,
well, I'm going to give a little plug here for a gift. If you want to give to a organization, I'm going to give a little plug here. I give to the Red Cross. I give my platelets to the Red Cross and my blood to the Red Cross. And I got to tell you, I find it very rewarding when you get a little note that says, you know, the platelets you gave Saturday helped a cancer victim on Tuesday. And I got to tell you that you don't get any money for it. You don't get to write it off. But, you know, there's a lot of bad accidents out there, a lot of people who need surgery, a lot of people who need blood. And if you have good blood and you have the ability to give, it only takes an hour or two of your day. And, you know, I just got to say, it's one of the most rewarding things I've done. And I continue to do, and I would encourage all of our listeners to give blood, because during the holidays, there's a lot of families who are going through a lot of stress of people having surgeries, of accidents, cancer treatments, whatever else. And if you could help ease that, it doesn't cost you a dime. It just costs you the time.
That's a good word, Chuck. Very good.
Yep.
And I guess the last thing then I'll say on this tax bill is it would have a modification of the Johnson Amendment. The Johnson Amendment basically put the kibosh on religious organizations being able to make statements about political campaigns. And so this would allow religious organizations to make statements about political campaigns.
There again, I think you're just leveling the field because there have been some religious organizations who got away with it, and others got slammed for doing it. So I think it's leveling the field.
So our institutions of higher learning can make any political statement they want, funded by states and government money, but our religious organizations can't? That didn't make sense. So this levels the playing field.
Oh, I don't know if this is the right Carl, but we got Carl on the line, and is that Carl?
It is. It is indeed. I had trouble getting my phone to a place where it would work.
Well, you know, when you're out of civilization, that happens.
Well, that's true. That is very true. But anyway, I have a very quick comment for you that you'll like a whole lot. Well, you won't like it, but it's at least germane to your business, and that is that there's a new law. You may be familiar with, teachers and healthcare providers have to have mandatory giving notice of evidence of child abuse if they come across it in their practices. Well, now guess who is a mandatory reporter of financial elder abuse or potential financial elder abuse?
Well, we have. Are you talking about fiduciaries?
No, this is different. This is a specific statute that requires it adds to the chapter that's on the securities chapter in Oregon, chapter 59, and it's Senate Bill 95. And what it does is it requires that if you as a broker or anybody who's in the securities business basically comes across someone and has a reasonable belief that person has been or is about to be financially abused, and they are one of these vulnerable people, meaning that they're over 65 or they have some kind of handicap that impairs their ability to make good decisions and all that kind of stuff. Then you have a requirement to notify the Department of Consumer Affairs, I guess, is what is the regulatory body here in Oregon.
Okay.
So I thought I'd bring that up because it's something new and it's,
Carl, it's interesting because as a registered investment advisor, we've had that requirement all along on a national basis. And in fact, you may remember a case that we was involved with one of my clients with another attorney that you referred me to. And actually quailed a plan here of guys who were taking property from seniors.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They, unfortunately for them, they did it to my client, which was a bad mistake because I turned them in.
Yeah.
And and so we've had that, at least as guys who are RIAs, registered investment advisors, have a fiduciary responsibility. We've been required to report that for some time. And I'm glad the state's adding that to it. And that ought to be added to the insurance agents and all the other guys who are out there doing retirement planning or whatever they're doing with seniors. Anybody that works with seniors ought to have that reliability.
Well, I agree with you, and there are some relatively stiff penalties, mostly big fines if you fail to do it. But lawyers have had that responsibility for a long time too. So, at least here in Oregon, we do. But this is a new law, and it just expands a little bit those people who are covered under the mandatory elder abuse reporting stuff.
And so, I think that's. As you and I have talked about this on a lot of occasions, that's one of the things that needs to be done is protect seniors.
Yeah, no kidding.
Especially since we are seniors.
Seniors, yes.
We need all the help we can get. That's right. Hey, listen. You have a great week, Carl.
All right, you too. Take care now.
Yep, you too. And Kevin, how's somebody get a hold of you?
Baker-Colson.com.
Okay, and I'm at pfgwm.com. Have a great week, and don't miss Investing Simplified next week. And don't forget November 30th, seminar. Call 503-253-3000. Have a great week.
253-3000 or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management, Incorporated. Every so often, a life-changing opportunity presents itself. That opportunity is right now. Chuck Price of Price Financial Group Wealth Management is hosting an event that will introduce you to a new, revolutionary concept that will change how we invest and how we look at our retirement plans in the future. It's called Asset Lock, and it is now. Imagine what it will be like to stop with the guessing and wondering about your financial future and actually see and learn about the key to unlock the newly discovered science that will change retirement plans forever. You deserve to take control of your retirement future, and now you can. If you have a minimum of $100,000 in your 401k, 403b, TSP, or 457 plan, you cannot afford to miss this event. November 30th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Holiday Inn Portland Airport on Columbia Boulevard. Not only will you hear about Asset Lock, you will meet and hear from its inventor and founder. Special guest, Chazen Jenkins. Register now by calling to reserve your seats. 503-253-3000. Limited space is available. 503-253-3000.